Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Chris Cameron. Each week we visit with an author, editor, publisher, or bookseller from our region. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what they love about their job. We give them an opportunity to read from their work, and we're very pleased to have Chris Cameron with us today. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you for inviting me, Felicity.
Christopher Cameron enjoyed a long and successful career as a professional opera singer. He says he was never famous, but he worked steadily and made a good living at his craft, performing on opera and concert stages across Canada. In 1989, he left full-time singing and began a career in the world of finance and technology, from which he retired in 2013. He spent the final years of his singing career as a member of the Canadian Opera Company's chorus, leaving in 2009, 33 years after he first started singing with the company. Several years ago, he began writing, and his first book, a memoir of his singing years, Dr. Bartolo's Umbrella and Other Tales from My Surprising Operatic Life, was published in 2017. So, Chris, after 33 years of singing and travelling with some finance and technology thrown in to make sure life was stressful enough, what brought you to the Trent River and Campbellford?
Well, Felicity, my wife and I both wanted to leave the hustle and bustle, the crowds and the noise of Toronto for some time. We're not retired yet, but our children are long gone for greener pastures, and so we can both work from home, actually. We're lucky enough to be able to do that. So there was very little to keep us in the big city, and we were looking for property out this way, Northumberland, and our search brought us to Campbellford nearly a year ago. We still can't believe our luck in finding a house right on the Trent River, and I'm still amazed at the arts community that I've discovered here too. And of course, for us it's a bonus to be close to the West Bend Festival, and it's run by two friends and former colleagues of mine,
yes.
Donna Bennett and Brian Finley.
Right. perfect location, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you're a marathon runner, a long-distance cyclist, and triathlon competitor. Do you keep up these activities in Campbellford? Where do you train?
Uh-huh. Good question, that one. You know that none of us is really getting any younger these days, so I don't do quite as much as I used to, but one of the joys of moving out here is the fact that I can run for hours and hours on all the country roads,
right,
and hardly meet anybody, which is great. That's why I run. I like to be alone. So people will see me around the Trent Hills area, running up and down the actual Trent Hills. But even though we've been here almost a year, I still haven't unpacked my bike, and I haven't done very much swimming at all, even though I've got a river right out the back door. So, but I like to think I have a few years left anyway.
Good. Well, anyway, I bet it did you some good when you were singing all that exercise.
Yes, I don't know which came first. Well, I do know which came first. I didn't start running until I was in my 30s. So obviously I had the lungs from singing to propel myself through the first 10K I ever ran.
What other work have you taken up since retiring from singing?
Well, my leaving of singing, of course, was in two phases. I was a professional soloist until 1989, and when I left full-time singing, I entered the regular workforce as a computer programmer and an investment analyst, which was about as far away from opera singing as you could imagine. At the same time, though, I continued to sing in the Canadian Opera Company chorus in Toronto on evenings and on weekends, so it was a bit like having two jobs for a long, long time. And after I finally left the opera chorus in 2009, I had two private goals. I wanted to be a writer,
mm-hmm.
but I realized I wouldn't make probably very much money from writing. I was right. So I went out and I got a diploma in publishing from Ryerson University, and I got myself certified as a copy editor by Editors Canada, which is our professional editors association. So since about 2012, I've been working as a freelance editor. I've got clients that range from, I have some scientists that I edit for, nanotechnology and artificial limbs and all that sort of stuff, but also to a lot of self-published memoirists as well. I've
mm-hmm.
been through dozens and dozens of memoirs. fascinating
it's
stuff.
It's a popular genre uh-huh. at the moment, isn't it? So what prompted you to start this particular memoir?
Uh-huh. Dr. Bartolo and His Umbrella. Mm-hmm. I've always loved telling stories about my singing. I've I bored people to tears with my stories. The interesting thing was everybody's career, I find, has ups and downs. I think everybody would agree, good bits and not so good bits. And when I was writing, when I decided to write, it was a question of, do I write about the not so good bits or the good bits, or mix them up? And it turned out that I decided I really loved my singing career. I had a great time when I was a singer. I enjoyed almost every minute of it. So that's what I wrote about. So that the anecdotes are all mostly funny and happy ones. I hope, above all, that Dr. Bartolo's Umbrella is an entertaining book to read. I wrote it about opera singing, but I didn't write it necessarily for opera singers. I wrote it for people who are maybe not performers, who might not know a lot about classical music, but who have maybe always wondered what goes on backstage during the show, or who've wondered what a singer might think about while he's standing there on the stage in his costume or in the wings. People do, we are human too. So, and also, but mostly for people who've wondered how you make that journey from being an ordinary teenager in Scarborough, which I was, to being on the opera stage years later. So that's what the book's really about, and that's why I wanted to write it.
Well, can't wait to read it. So how long did it take to write it?
That's good. I want to say over 10 years in the making, but actually you could say that a memoir really is a lifetime in the making, isn't
yes.
it? Actually, the book began as a series of little vignettes that I wrote after I decided to write down all those little stories that I kept boring people with. I first started writing seriously.
I don't think you could have bored them.
No,
because
I didn't,
otherwise,
really.
Wouldn't exactly.
Absolutely.
It's just you.
They said, why did you write those stories down, for heaven's sake? I first actually started writing sort of seriously in a memoir class, again at Ryerson University, back in about 2009, which later morphed into a writing group I joined. And I read a lot of my stuff to this group, and we all critiqued each other. I owe them a lot for the help that they gave me. But I got the idea for the actual book in about 2013. So what's that, 5 years ago now, when I stitched together all the little scenes that I'd written about into one big story. And that took about a year to do that. And then, of course, as every author knows, there's the inevitable revising, which took at least another year. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I began submitting it to publishers, which took, it seemed like forever, like a lifetime. But finally, a beautiful little literary press called Seraphim Editions finally accepted my book in 2016, and it was published last year in May 2017. So it's a long, long process, as you can see. As an editor, I always try to impress on my beginning clients that writing a book is a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time.
Very good advice. Very good advice. Okay, so now read to us from your memoir, Dr. Bartolo's Umbrella.
Well, sure. No, I'd like to read a little bit from the introduction and then add a tiny bit from later on in the book that explains why I actually called it Dr. Bartolo's Umbrella.
Okay. So
this is from the very beginning of the book. In the 1970s and 1980s, I was a professional opera and concert singer in Canada. An internet search for my name will probably yield nothing. I was not brilliant enough to be memorable, and I never became famous enough to be Googleable. To find any mention of me, you'd have to dig through old newspaper clippings and souvenir programs, or you'd have to talk to other singers approaching the far ends of their careers who might remember me. But for all my obscurity, I worked steadily throughout all those years and had the excitement and privilege of being able to consider myself a musician. I loved everything about being a singer. The strength and beauty of the music as I directed its journey through my body. The feeling of my voice leaving me, and the sensation of it coming back to my ears as it echoed off the walls of the theater at the speed of sound. Most of all, I loved the transcendental moment in time that occurred while I waited in the wings an instant before stepping on stage, when I would feel like a diver who has just left the board, suspended between the darkened reality at my back and the vivid fantasy before me. And when I stood singing on the stage with the sound of the orchestra swelling from the pit, a galaxy of lights shining on me and thousands of people in the darkened theater, it was easy to imagine that it had all been put somehow in place just for me. I began singing professionally in 1973 and performed my first operatic role in the winter of 1977 and my last as a full-time professional in the fall of 1989. During those years, I participated in hundreds of different opera productions and tours, radio broadcasts, and concerts, enough to make a decent living, buy a house, and start a family. My life as a professional soloist had a beginning and an ending that can be neatly contained within a pair of parentheses. But while it lasted, my singing career was anything but parenthetical to my life. It was everything I considered myself to be. And if one day I were told I could only have worked for one span of time, I would ask for those years. The title of my book, in case you were wondering, is a nod to Dr. Bartolo, Rosina's grouchy guardian from The Barber of Seville, who was the first professional operatic character I ever sang. I was also performing him the day I decided it was time for me to leave the opera business. And in the years between, I made numerous attempts to portray this difficult chap, who's a mixture of comic malevolence and incompetent doomed schemes, a sort of operatic Wile E. Coyote. I think of him as a testament to my belief in Browning's statement that our reach should exceed our grasp. Bartolo always exceeded mine, and for that he deserves my acknowledgement. And as for his umbrella, someone said that the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and always expecting a different result. Live performing is a variation of this, doing the same thing night after night and always getting a different result. This was one reason I both loved and feared performing, because every night the result was slightly unpredictable. Each time I sang, I knew that the performance would be different, even though everybody was essentially doing the same thing. Once, as Dr. Bartolo, in a wordless bit of business on stage, I walked out a door and opened my umbrella. That's it, just opened my umbrella. The audience roared with laughter and cheered and applauded as an imaginary wind then pulled me off stage. I have no idea what I did. Timing, body language, catching the light at a certain angle, and like Sullivan's lost chord, the moment was never ever repeated. I like to call the atmosphere of live performing aleatoric, a wonderful musical term that comes from the Latin word for dice. It's a cardinal rule. No matter how carefully you plan, there's always an unavoidable, supernatural element of chance. And this is what makes stage work so terrifying and so delicious. Once you step on the stage, the dice are thrown. This could manifest itself in some onstage disaster or other, a wardrobe malfunction, a sudden vocal glitch, a technical hiccup, or else in a wonderful, unexpected moment, such as Dr. Bartolo's umbrella.
That was lovely. Thank you. Okay, now we'll take a short break.